Christ, and I draw your attention to the 12th chapter of Hebrews as I have the honor of preaching his glorious gospel one more time. We're dedicated to the study of the Holy Scriptures here at Rescue Baptist Church, and we're going through the book of Hebrews in a verse-by-verse study. On Friday night, we're going through the book of Acts, and these studies have been very, very rewarding to me, and I pray that what the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning will be a rich blessing for you and used by him for his glory. Now, last week, from this 12th chapter of this holy inspired epistle, the message that I preached was very important for us to hear as we considered this warning from verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, I brought this out last week, that those who refuse to hear Moses and the other prophets, our God gave Moses his laws when he was on Mount Sinai. And Moses was the instrument that brought the oracles of God before the nation of Israel. And those who refuse to hear him, and those who refuse to hear God's prophets, died without mercy before two or three or more witnesses of the very fact that they had broken God's laws. Now, Jesus Christ, by the supreme sacrifice of himself, took care of the sin debt in full for all of his chosen people. Yes. And the Word of God teaches that, and I'll bring that out in this morning's message. Our Lord Jesus has risen from the dead, and there are many who scoffed and mocked the resurrection of the dead during the apostolic age when he sent his apostles to preach his gospel. Nevertheless, he has risen. God has highly exalted his Son and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Now, we read that in the book of Philippians in the second chapter. So our Lord is now seated on his throne. There's a glorified God-man in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's very God of very God. And Brother Michael brought this out in Sunday school this morning. He's the great I Am, the Eternal One, who condescended to come to this earth and become a man so that he could suffer and bleed and die as a supreme sacrifice for the sins of his people. And he did that. And so his preachers, and our Lord sent his apostles to preach this glorious gospel, and those who believed, they're in glory right now. Those who believed the apostles as they preached the gospel, they were delivered from the power of darkness, and they were translated into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is by faith. They didn't do anything. They didn't walk down to the front of the church. They didn't shake a preacher's hand. They didn't repeat some foolish words that he gave them to repeat. They were enlightened by God the Holy Spirit under the preaching of his gospel. Those who refused to believe, who turned a deaf ear to Jesus Christ, who spoke from heaven through his apostles and his early New Testament preachers, they're in hell right now. This hasn't changed. Our Lord Jesus is still speaking to his people under the preaching of his gospel. Rebecca Brown is a very good example of that. She heard not just the preacher who preached the gospel, but the life-giving voice of Jesus Christ who gave her faith to believe the gospel. So this is a serious warning to those who turn a deaf ear to the truths of what I trust the Lord will give me liberty to preach this morning. In the 35 years I have had the honor of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from this pulpit, many have come through that door, the door of our little church building. And then many left, some shaking their head in unbelief, some saying, I can't believe that, that's stupid. But the Word of God tells us the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. Some have believed. John and Kathy Reeves are not here, so I can use them. John came here to see his brother Lee, who was one of our deacons, needing some counseling. He didn't know the Lord Jesus brought him here to hear the gospel. And under the preaching of the gospel, he came out of darkness. And for 5 years, he lived with a woman who hated him and his stand for Christ and called me one who had just brainwashed him. But under the preaching of the gospel, one glorious Sunday, she heard the truth. And she believed. She came from a group that does not believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And as I was walking by John and Kathy that Sunday when the Lord revealed his truth to her, something was brought up about Jesus Christ not being God. And I knew her background. And I said, Kathy, the Word of God clearly teaches Jesus Christ is our Creator. He's God Almighty. She said, I know. He revealed that to me this morning. And so she was gloriously saved. You see, God has a chosen people and an appointed time when he will bring them out of darkness, out of the preaching of his glorious gospel. If our faith is not in the Christ of Holy Scripture, we do not have true saving faith. Will you listen to me just for a moment? The Jesus that is being preached from most pulpits today does not even remotely resemble the Christ of Holy Scripture. He's a helpless deity, a figment of man's darkened imagination that doesn't even exist. Jesus Christ is not standing there hoping that you'll make a decision for him. He's on his throne in glory, taking away the stony heart of his chosen people at his own appointed time and giving them a new heart to believe on him. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. And those who have been enlightened by God the Holy Spirit count it a great honor and great joy to give a testimony that Jesus Christ is the one who saved us at Calvary 2,000 years ago and revealed that to us at his own appointed time. Now that brings us to our text for this morning's message, Hebrews 12. Verses 28 and 29 reads this way. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now we covered verse 28 last week. And if our Lord Jesus has given us faith to receive him, and faith, folks, listen. Faith is not the sinner's gift to God. Faith is God's gift to the sinner. We read that in Ephesians. It tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest man should boast. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith, without it, a man cannot please God. And in the 12th chapter, we read that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. We don't come into this world with saving faith. God has to give us that, and he does that under the preaching of his gospel. Now, we covered this last week as we went through these truths concerning being delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is revealed to us in Colossians chapter 1, and we're to praise God for his great deliverance in our lives. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, our Lord tells us this in his word, the kingdom of God is within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is God's kingdom. And if we have Christ, we have it all. Is that right?
Amen.
We have everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Without him, we don't have anything. Without him, we don't have anything but looking forward to the fiery indignation of God's wrath. But in Jesus Christ, we've been delivered from his wrath. He, the Lord Jesus, by himself, endured the wrath of God as our substitute.
Amen.
So that we now, by looking to him, can have this understanding that our righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That our peace is Jesus Christ, who has given us peace with God through what he has accomplished for us. And this brings joy unspeakable and full of glory into the hearts of God's children who have been given faith to believe this. So I don't know what this world of professing Christians do with these truths when they're talking about a kingdom that might be set up on this earth where Jesus Christ will be dwelling in a temple made with hands. I've heard this. You can jump in a jet airplane and fly over to Jerusalem, have lunch with Jesus, and then be back with your family for supper. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And when he comes, there won't be any Jerusalem. He's coming in flaming fire. Let me show you this. Turn over, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And while you're turning there, I have put a passage of scripture on the front of this morning's bulletin, taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And it's interesting. Paul was the writer of the epistle to those in Thessalonica. And he did not mention anything about Christ setting up his kingdom on this earth, because that was not in his spiritual teachings. He warned the people to beware of that day when Christ would return. Listen to this. Starting at verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Why didn't Paul say that this was going to take place after the thousand-year reign with Christ here on this earth? Because he did not believe in a literal thousand-year reign with Christ here on this earth. He knew that when Christ came back, when he does come back, that's it. It's all over. Today is the day of salvation. Don't believe these fly-by-night preachers who are talking about you having a second chance when Christ returns. Today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and thou shalt be saved. Or suffer the consequences. Are you with me in 2 Peter chapter 3? Let me just take us through this chapter in a cursory fashion, highlighting some thoughts. Peter was inspired by God the Holy Spirit when he wrote both epistles. And starting at verse 1 of chapter 3, we read, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure or your sincere minds by way of remembrance. So Peter was moved by God the Holy Spirit to write these things that those who read his epistle would have their sincere minds stirred up to remember some things. And he mentions them. He says that you may be mindful, in verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And if there was ever a day in the history of mankind where the world was dominated by scoffers, it's this day that we're living in. Did you know, and this happened just in my lifetime, let me just share this. When I was a young boy, we lived in the Reading area, up north about 200 miles. And you could go to downtown Reading on Sunday and everything was closed up. Mr. J.C. Penney would not open his doors on Sunday. That was the day people were supposed to go to church. Just in my lifetime, we have gone from that awareness of Sunday being a day of public worship to a day in our generation where people think you're foolish if you spend your time going to church on Sunday when you can be out just living it up. In my day and age, in my lifetime, years ago, and you may remember this, there was a song that came out sung by a country and western singer named Jimmy Dean. He's now on Jimmy Dean Sausage. But he was very famous as a country singer. And he sung a song called Big Bad John. You may remember it. I heard it when it first came out. And in the first cutting, at the end of the song, where John gave his life to save other miners, they put a monument, closed up that mine, would not reopen it. And the monument read, at the bottom of this pit is one hell of a man. They made Jimmy Dean recall that song and recut it and take that word hell out of that recording. What a moral decline we have come to in our day and age. But it doesn't change the fact that our God is a consuming fire. And he's in control of all of this. And he has a people who are to be reminded of some things, that there will be scoffers in these last days. And here's one of the things that they mock. They say in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's not true. Look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So the world didn't continue from the beginning as it is today. God did destroy this world once with a flood during the days of Noah. And guess how many people were aboard the ark when God closed the door? You can count them. Is that eight? Is it eight people? Eight people were aboard that ark when God closed the door. It took Noah over 100 years to build that ark. And every day he was building that ark, he had mockers. You foolish man, you. Rain. We never heard of rain. But they heard about it after God closed the door. And Christian scientists, or those who claim to be believers in creation instead of this foolish evolution, they will tell you that there were probably just as many people on the face of this earth during the days of Noah as there are today. And I don't know if that's true or not, but there were millions of people, and when God closed the door, he brought the floodwaters in, and Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives are the only ones who were delivered from God's wrath. Now that very ark points to Jesus Christ. He's the only ark of safety. And there's coming a day when God's going to close the door. It's all going to be open. I'm spending too much time here. Read on. It says in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So our God is a consuming fire. He's not going to destroy the world with a flood anymore, but he's coming in flaming fire. We just read that on the front of this morning's bulletin, that scripture from 2 Thessalonians. He's coming in flaming fire. He's coming to pour out his wrath on ungodly men. Look at verse 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Our Lord came out of the grave a little over 2,000 years ago. That's only 2 days in his time. You know, that hasn't been very long. But he's coming back. And the reason he hasn't come back yet is found in verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The usward points to his chosen people, his elect, those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Those who were promised by God the Father to God the Son in the eternal covenant of grace before a star ever twinkled in the sky. And this harmonizes with the rest of the scriptures. And I cannot tell you how many times I have heard people who believe that their decision for Jesus and their free will is what determined their eternal destiny try to tell me that the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, and that's not what the Word of God says. That's a portion of a scripture taken out of context. Verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." Well, what's his promise? The promise of his coming. That's what we just read. He's coming again. God's not slack concerning that promise. He's coming again, but he has some of his lost sheep still out there who have not heard the gospel, who have not been delivered from the power of darkness, the power of Satan, the power of sin, who have not come by faith into the waiting arms of Jesus Christ. But they're going to come. They're going to come. Because God is not willing that any of those should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is the one who grants repentance unto life. I have the honor of preaching the glorious truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't speak to your heart. That's God's work. And I dare not dishonor my God by telling you you can be saved if you'll just do this or if you'll just do that. I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ saved his people. And in the 6th chapter of John, he said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day." And so he's going to bring his sheep out of darkness into his marvelous light under the preaching of his gospel. Read on. We read in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Our God is a consuming fire. Why didn't Peter say, "Well, after the 1,000-year reign with Christ on earth, then he's coming back and everything's going to melt with fervent heat"? Because that wasn't in Peter's spiritual preaching either. He preached the gospel. Jesus Christ is coming again. But when he does, everything that you see with your eye and things that you can't see except through a telescope is going to melt with fervent heat. That's what this is saying. I believe the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? I believe what the Word of God says. Things are going to just melt. And it won't happen just in a moment. I believe we're going to know by the brightness of His glory that's coming, I believe, slowly. Because the wicked are going to be running into caves, trying to hide from the wrath of God, crying for rocks to fall on them. We're going to see something. We're going to see our Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, coming with all of His angels, with all of our loved ones who were given faith to believe on Him. He's bringing them with Him, but He's coming to destroy the wicked with the brightness of His coming. Everything going to melt with His fervent heat. Did you know? I'm sure if you've read the Word of God, you do know this. That Paul got a glimpse of Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road when he was persecuting the church, and it blinded him for 3 days. And he said, when I could not see for the glory of that light, he just got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus Christ. There's no need for the sun in heaven. Jesus Christ is the light of our celestial city that we're going to. He's bright. He's so bright. You can't box Him up in a temple made with hands. He's the God of glory. And He's coming back. He's coming back taking vengeance on those who refuse to believe His gospel, will not obey Him. Verse 11 says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And I'll stop right there. That's why He has not come back. That's why our Lord Jesus has not returned. The long-suffering of our Lord Jesus is salvation. He purchased the people with His own precious blood at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And He's going to have them. And He will not come back until that last lost sheep is brought out of that darkness that they're in into His marvelous light. Now turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll use this as a closing passage. And once again, our God is a consuming fire. Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, is coming again. And it's going to be a terrible day for those who do not know that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. It'll be a terrible day for those who do not believe His glorious gospel. But it will be a wonderful day, a day of rejoicing for those who have been given faith to believe in the Christ of Holy Scripture. There's an article in today's bulletin. It's on the second page, just above food for thought. Let me read this before I share this scripture with you from Hebrews 10. This article reads this way. When an unrepentant sinner who refuses to bow down to Jesus Christ, the exalted, glorified God-man, denying His perfect work of redemption for His chosen people, dies in his sins, he will still be a rebellious sinner who will suffer the righteous wrath of God for all eternity. When a true follower of Jesus Christ goes through that door marked death, he will never sin again. Jesus Christ, who by Himself purged our sins, will present us to Himself faultless, and for all eternity we'll enjoy eternal bliss in the presence of the One who purchased us with His own precious blood, in a state of sinless perfection where not even a sinful thought can enter our minds. What a day to look forward to. Amen. Now folks, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love His gospel. I've been quickened by God the Holy Spirit. That's the miracle of the new birth. but I still have the old nature to contend with. And I'm ashamed of some of the thoughts that go through my mind. Some of the things that I do that I know I shouldn't do. Some of the things that I don't do that I know I should do. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And people who, in my own immediate family and my associates who are still in darkness, they just shake their head and say, well, I'm just as good as that man. And that's true, but that's not good enough. We must be as good as Jesus Christ himself. You say, well, that lets me out. It does me too if my faith isn't in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, my Lord Jesus, and my subject this morning is our God. Our God is a consuming fire. And when my Lord Jesus hung there on that cross 2,000 years ago, he was made sin for me that I might have his righteousness. And when he was made sin for me, and the Word of God says that he bore in his body our own sin on the tree. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. In other words, he's my substitute. And God the Father poured out his wrath on my substitute. He consumed, listen to me, this is important. He consumed all of my sins. Consumed them. They're gone as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them against me no more. God is a just God. He cannot demand payment twice. If Jesus Christ took care of my sin debt, God cannot punish me. That's why universal redemption is a bald-faced lie that encourages people to trust in something that they have done and not in what Christ has done for them. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his people, and he consumed all of our sins in his own body and consumed the fire of God's wrath so that there is absolutely nothing that can be laid to the charge of God's elect. That's in Romans chapter 8. Why is that? Because God himself has justified his people through the perfect redeeming work of Jesus Christ, my Savior. You want proof? Right here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verses 9 and 10. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is talking about Jesus Christ coming to do his Father's will, which we quoted from John 6, 37 through 39 just a moment ago. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that is the old covenant of works, that he may establish the second, that is the covenant of his eternal grace. He came to do his Father's will, and verse 10 says, by the which will, by God's will, by the will of God sending his Son to this earth, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word sanctified is a word that means set apart, but it's also a word that means made holy. So Jesus Christ sanctified somebody at Calvary 2,000 years ago. He set them apart. He made them holy. Drop down to verse 14. Look at this. For by one offering, by his offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That doesn't agree with this popular preaching that you hear today. Jesus Christ sanctified his people, and he perfected them forever by his one sacrifice for sins. None for whom he laid down his life will go to hell. We're all going to glory because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We read in verses 15 and 16, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now listen to this. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the word of God. Look to Jesus Christ as your only hope. He's the believer's only hope, but what a hope he is. It's a hope that's like an anchor, both steadfast and sure, that has already entered within the veil. Jesus Christ is there right now, not only as the believer's surety, not only as the believer's high priest. He's there as King of kings and Lord of lords. Very God, a very God who's working all things after the counsel of His own will. Our God is a consuming fire. And our Lord Jesus consumed all the fire of God's wrath as our substitute. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. If our faith is in Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. We don't fear the day of judgment. We don't fear death. We don't fear anything. We know that it is well with our souls because of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. So Rebecca Brown has heard this gospel, and she believes this gospel, and she wants to give a public testimony of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Rebecca, if you